Warning, the following program contains open expression that some may find offensive. Language is used freely under the direct authority of the Constitution of the United States of America.
This podcast is a member of the Detroit Podcasters Network.
Detroit Podcasters Network.
Coming at you from I-94 and I-75. Representing the ongoing struggle to realize the Renaissance in Detroit, you have found the Olin Ezra Show. Allow me to introduce the big baby P.
I need a drink.
The front woman of the pills, Miss Danny Catastrophe.
What up, bitches?
The engineer, D. Sway. And for me, myself, and the all-seeing eye, Magnanimous. And now, Olin Ezra.
What's up, internet, in the beautiful yet broke city of Detroit, Michigan? You are listening to the 98th installment of the Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's Underground Talk Revolution. Make sure to check us out on our website. Everything is linkable through that, our Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. And we do have this week a brand new comment line. I posted it on Facebook a couple of days ago, but this is exciting. It's free. It's fully Googleable because it's from Google, and you can hit up that number at 313-312-4522. That number again, 313-312-4524. So,
operators are standing by.
Real quick, we have a very huge show coming your way today. Unbelievable content. We have an interview with Sublime with Rome. We have an interview with the Paper Tongues. We have an interview with our hometown heroes, Ray Street Park. And by the way, just so you guys know, they are lubricated and rock and rolled for your convenience.
I love the cover of that CD. It totally looks like Moonlight for Lovers.
Absolutely. And then also,
it looks like the cover of a Troy. That is the cover of a Trojan.
It is.
Gotcha.
It is. And then also Dan Colucci from Lucci Entertainment. He's worked with a whole ton of people. I'll let him explain that later. But
yeah,
it's a
There he is.
Pleasure and privilege.
Don Colucci. It's Don very Colucci. Nice to have made your acquaintances.
Come over here and kiss the ring.
Don Colucci.
So, yeah, pleasure and privilege to have him here. A whole ton of great shit going on. Real quick, before we get to the beer, I want to touch on this last Friday where Dan was, wow, what a night. We exploded everywhere again, as always. Got a chance to kick it with Sublime, watch them backstage with Dan. MG Nader was there. And then at the bank.
The bank was a sweaty, grimy, beer-soaked, drunken, great fucking time, I thought.
I wound up doing the third verse to the Beastie Boys.
You did. He also did a Sublime track with us.
Which one?
And What I Got.
What I Got.
But nobody, no. I kind of, everyone got thrown. They go like, your mom busted in. And my idea was, and said, quit getting ill. Oh, mom, you're just jealous because I'm down with the pills. Boom. So that happened, but nobody heard it because they were busy screaming, oh, my, you're jealous. It's the Beastie Boys.
Right.
To which I didn't count on, so.
Well, either way, no, it was great. When I got there, it was packed, man, and there was a great vibe going around. And
it was good times.
Yeah, Hell yeah.
I think I was accosted several times by several different people, but it's all good. It was all love.
Okay, so we did stop back by Tommy Capizzo's for a drink.
Yeah, what happened there, buddy?
Well, here's what happened there. Like, we get back there, beers are flying, we're talking crazy, and suddenly I say, you know, let's snort some creatine. Like, no explode. I see no explode. You know, the supplement.
I see. I thought you were talking in code. No. That's why I was like, oh, so there's a big pile.
There was no code here. So I did it. I thought that it would be funny.
And
I'm just going to, that's all I got to say about that.
Did your pecs grow, like, substantially over the
No, but here's something that I learned, Danny, over the years. You just can't snort everything.
What were the side effects?
A very severe center of gravity.
All right, Steve, without any further bullshit, what's that in your hand?
Beer of the week!
Sticking with my Michigan brews here is another example of a fine northern Michigan brewery from the North Peak Company. Way the hell up there, way up in the tip.
So this is some Copper Harbor type shit.
Yeah, pretty damn much. It even says brewed up north. And this one's called Siren Amber Ale. In the brewery's in Traverse City, and they import from, or no, the stores they sell it at, and the bar that they have is in Traverse City. The brewery is in a little further northern Michigan. But this is called the Siren Amber Ale.
I hate to say it, but I think they kind of jack the packaging from Red Stripe.
When I walked up, Terry from Race Street's out there. He's like, is that a Red Stripe?
That's what I thought. I'm like, Steve, you have a six-pack of Red Stripe.
You know
what?
But is that just ingenious? Do you have a brewery and steal other people's bottles and labeling?
Looks like a Red Stripe from like the 60s.
Probably saving a ton of money, right? But this is what's considered the Amber Ale. There's also Porter, same shape bottle and everything, different labels. And then I found Wheat Ale by Siren. Or no, this is the Siren by North Peak Brewery. And this stuff is pretty damn good as it has that very... like homebrew kind of tang to it, not like anything on a market.
It looks like it's made in like a barn with like the rest of the meth. In the
it's
kind of
janky.
It does.
It's got sort of a gasoline smell to it, I'm not going to lie.
Steve, it looks like you got some meth mouth going on today, buddy, not going to lie.
I don't know, that's creatine mouth, what you're talking about, but Traverse City is like where they have the restaurants where they serve it, but Siren, Amber, they do look like Red Stripes. I found these at the Paradiso Market on a Hilton right near 696. I'm not sure. I've not seen these around too much. But by the way, no info on the alcohol content on the ABV. However, I'm going to use my ABVO internal meter and just surmise that we're dealing with about a 5.6. I'm going to say 5.6 and watch. I'll try to do a little more extensive research, but nothing popped up. See what I can find.
I wanted to add real quick, Terry from Ray Street Park also brought this Abita beer purple haze.
I was telling him, yeah, Abitas. I've had a few of them. Never had this specific one. So
very good.
He was bringing something cool. He was right.
Hopefully you get a chance to try one. It's called Raspberry Wheat Brew. So it's kind of got a fruity hint to it, but it's like that Lean & Kugel's Summer Shandy where it's not an overpowering, you know, it's not fruit.
Plus it is a strand of herb.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. Thought that I've heard that name somewhere
around. This is one of
around.
My favorites, actually.
Blazing the Haze.
Very rare. Good to find, though. Anyway, Dan hooked it up, man, and the Olin Ezra Show was humble enough to get an interview with the band known as Sublime.
Motherfucking Sublime.
Rare interview with those guys.
That's what I hear. They don't do interviews.
No, they don't, really.
They don't.
I mean, no, they're doing interviews, and they're doing stuff, but...
Can I point out that apparently Real Detroit really wanted this, but they didn't get it?
Well.
All right.
That's how we roll at the Olin Ezra Show.
I love it. Many OE humble exclusive. Thank you. So here it is, OE exclusive with Sublime with Rome. So here we are on the bus with the band known as Sublime with Rome, and they just started this tour back in April, so it's good. How you guys doing?
Great.
Good, good. You guys are playing a lot of the older tunes on this tour, right? Or are you guys mixing in some new material?
Just a little bit of everything.
Cool. How long, you guys are looking to be done in about October, and then are you going to go back into the studio? Or?
Yeah, we're going to go into the studio and do a couple of... couple of tracks, maybe leak something to radio.
That'd be it. We're looking forward to it. So.
It's been talk. It's just they keep us pretty busy on the road. So.
Right. So how's the tour been? Have you guys been almost like every day nonstop?
No. We'll do like maybe two in a row and then take one off. At the most, three in a row and then take a night off. But we usually do about how many shows a week?
About four
or five shows a week, yeah.
So do you guys have any plans tonight after the show? Get down?
We got down pretty hard last night.
That's what I heard. My buddy Dan was telling me that you guys got
went a little tipsy. Ballistic.
Did you guys go anywhere in particular?
Like some strip club, like Vonnebies or something weird.
Bazooki Club.
I went from bus to bus all night. He buzzed off and then jammed in the street.
Yeah, it was really cool. I was playing my
We all got pretty in touch with the streets.
And there was two black dudes walked up, and one busted out of sax, and he started playing. The other guy started rapping, and these two other guys showed up. They started rapping, and it sounded good, too. And then Cheese showed up, and then I gave him my guitar, got my bass, and we had like a full, like kind of a funk set of jam
street
band.
That's awesome. Yeah. Vibing with Detroit street musicians.
There's nothing better than their at. So mind you, this is at 4 in the morning.
Right.
It's the
best
time.
It's fun, man.
But hey, I won't take up any more guys' time. Thanks a lot for letting us get the interview on the Olin Ezra Show. And good luck tonight, guys. Performing on Woodward Avenue with street musicians. Eric from Sublime, man. What a humble move.
Oh, dude, Rome the night Rome the night before was freestyling with people on the street right outside the Westin.
That's badass.
He was
really cool.
Was going nonstop, and I got some of it on video. Actually,
was this the 4 a.m. thing you were telling me about?
This is the 4 a.m. Awesome. Thing about. Yeah,
how cool is that?
And yeah, how awesome is it that it was on the Ole and Ezra show that Eric from the LBC is standing on Woodward playing his bass with a traveling saxophone player.
Eric is a bad man. I'll tell you that much. That motherfucker can play.
I'll tell you
play.
What, Bud is. Bud is so awesome. I had the privilege of sitting next to him at dinner, and he and his wife and his assistant, and Bud just told some amazing stories. And had I known, like after, I wish we did it after, that way I could have told you, dude, the guy is obsessed with guns.
I wish I know.
Oh.
Dude, he was showing us pictures of
briefcase
guns.
He's a gun maker. He's got his license to make like machine guns and AKs.
I wonder what he's into, yeah.
Oh, he's into everything.
Oh, he literally is.
He said he has like 16,000 rounds of ammo and one locker.
Oh, jealous.
Yeah, so he's just
self-sufficiency.
Like,
Steve
can't 16,000 rounds?
I'm like, you know, we were at the Italian restaurant. I was like, what kind of, you know, what's your nationality? You know, because I'm a Dago. And he goes,
Where did Dago?
He goes, I'm American. I'm like, you're American? He's like, yeah, American. And I'm like, oh, okay. I like this guy. They got a good crew out with them. You know, I know they're the guitar tech, and he's amazing. And I mean, they have everything dialed in, and they're doing really well. And the demand is pretty high for these guys because they haven't done anything in a long time. The fans just loved it.
They ate up everything.
I mean, they were singing along, and it was great. You know, it was good to see a band like that, you know, back out again and doing stuff. And actually, with all the tours this summer doing horrible. I mean, a lot of them are really doing bad.
Taking
this
a
one's
hit,
yeah,
right?
Taking a huge
labels are
hit.
Freaking out. Man.
Sublime
Everybody's
packed it in,
out.
Man.
Sublime did well, and they packed it in, and you know they supposedly had to turn away a bunch of people in Wisconsin and a couple nights before, and you know that's good to hear. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because that gives everybody else hope.
If you're looking for more innovative things like car casts, crazy rock interviews, and more, check out our homeboy, The Country Coworker, and find even more fun than you can found ground up resting in K-Hub's beautiful left breast. Check out our boy, Zaldor, at ZALDOR.com. Some excellent comments this week, and Phil Kukowinski called, and he was spitting some venom.
Hey, Olin. It is Phil the intern from Static Noise and 89X. I'm glad to see that you got your fucking voicemail figured out after you left me an amazing voicemail for me to play on my show, giving me shit about how things aren't working for my show. Kind of ironic how that works, isn't it? But listen, so I listened to episode 96, and to be completely honest, I've already forgot what it was that I was going to yell at you for. It wasn't the smoking weed, it wasn't you whining and bitching like a little girl about the smoking ban. I can't really remember what the fuck it was, but I just wanted to call and let you know that you missed out on a very golden opportunity where I was extremely pissed off at the world and wanted to kill everyone. Anybody that got in my way was going to have their throat slashed and watch me basically laugh and smile as they drowned in a pool of their own blood. So you're going to have to wait until the next time I'm extremely pissed off at somebody for you to see what it's fully like with the rage of Phil the Intern. Peace, motherfucker.
You know what my favorite part is about that?
Jesus,
my favorite part is that you can tell the entire time that he's saying that, he has like the biggest smile on his face. Like,
I know.
He can't
he's so happy.
Mad.
He will feel the entire rage. You're Phil the Intern.
Phil the Intern. Come on, son. What are you so pissed off for? You're 20 years old. You're loving life.
Yeah.
You have your radio show, Static Noise, which is doing very well.
You got
well.
A nice butt. It looks like you work out. I'm just going to throw that out there. But I'm loving the banter between these shows, dude.
I love it. It's gang a bang, bitches.
Oh, by the way, shout out to Dave McDonald. He was a little tipsy that night, I think.
Dude, I've never seen him so drunk. Yep. I've never seen him drunk. So
yeah,
that
I couldn't
was
even tell that he was drunk.
But yeah,
he kept putting me in like this half Nelson at points where I was like, all right, he's probably fucked up.
The reason we got that phone call is because I left Phil a voicemail the week previously, and if you listen to Static Noise, you can hear it where I'm basically bitching him out because his website didn't work. I was trying to listen to the latest episode of Static Noise, and I couldn't because
then Karma bit you right
Karma just can't. It didn't even bite me, dude. It fisted me with a the broken pieces of shrapnel from this bottle is what happened. But, you know, give it to Phil, man. I love the guy. We did have an answer to that Tupac question from 2 weeks ago. We didn't get a chance to get to hip-hop trivia last week. So this week, Jessica called, and she had this brilliant answer.
All right, damn it. This is my answer for your trivia question. The late and great Tupac Shakur was shot 13 times, as far as the books are concerned. But my theory is that he is in South America somewhere, living pretty fat. I can't say that I wouldn't like the chance to be in his shoes right now, but that's the number, guys, and you can give credit to Jessica at my Catch a Buzz page, actually, on Facebook. Peace.
She's shamelessly promoting something or other?
Right. Catch a
her
Buzz.
Her Facebook page.
Yes. Okay. It is on her Catch a Buzz on her Facebook page, but I believe she's right. I found a ton of conflicting answers, but I'm pretty sure 13 is the magic number.
Yeah, well,
it signifies 1/3.
You know what 13 represents.
33.
He called it out. Illuminati, bitch.
That's who knows? What do you think, Dan?
I'll tell you what, man. I saw Tupac with Digital Underground.
Oh, that's
wow. And it was unbelievable.
It was back when he was still fun.
It was right before, yeah, exactly. Before
he was clowning around with the Underground.
Yeah, exactly. But they were amazing. And, I mean, I was a big fan of Digital Underground, and he was actually on the tours just before he did, Juice? Was that what he did?
That's where things started changing.
That's where things started changing for him, and, so they were incredible, though, and he was, you know, he was phenomenal. But I think I saw them at the State. I want to say I saw them at the State Theater.
They still get around, too, don't they?
Oh,
they
were in Detroit. They are so much fun, man. I'll tell you what, I had a great story. I was hanging out with Digital Underground. I was on this dude's yacht.
Shock G or Humpty? Which one?
Same guy. So
shut up!
It's the same guy. Yeah. So anyway, I'm actually hanging out with Numbskull. We're in the San Diego Yacht Club, all hoity-toity, and we're all fucked up. And he's sitting there
blowing lines.
And the guy, we're all partying in the thing. And I'm like, you guys, Numbskull, what was your hit? And I said, you got to sing your hit. So he starts singing, I got five on it, I got four, let's get keyed. And we end up getting kicked out of the yacht club. Going so crazy. So they're like, we're going to go take you to meet, go meet Shock. And I was like, no fucking way, man. So we jumped in the car. I'm wasted. I shouldn't have been driving. And I was so excited. I punched my rearview mirror off. And I was driving like 100 miles an hour. I get in the studio and I sit down. I'm like, Shock, I'm such a huge fan of yours. Oh my God. Anyway, the night goes on. They're passing Hennessy all around. And it was just a moment where Shock and I were sitting there and he gets on and he starts playing Freaks of the Industry on the keyboard and played that for about 15 minutes and then went into Sex Packets.
Yeah,
Sex Packets, a bottle for two.
Because that dude plays fluent piano, doesn't he?
That guy's unbelievable. Oh, Shock's unbelievable. And Money B and all those
Money
guys,
B.
Man, they're just, you know, they rock. They're like
it's
one of those groups.
Freaky Dog.
One of those groups that if you ever see them, like if they're ever playing live, go and see them because they're like a lot of fun and great time.
Good times, man. Yeah. Dan, you've got hella stories, man.
Yeah, I'll bet.
That's just the tip of the iceberg, I'm sure.
That's just the tip of the tip.
Did you ever meet Prince?
Huh?
Did you ever meet Prince?
No, my old tour manager was a security guard, though.
I got to get into Paisley Park.
He came in. I was in Cleveland for some Cleveland music festival years and years ago, and he was supposed to play this after hours at the, I want to say it was the Odeon or something, and his whole band was, everybody's all ready to go, and he was in back doing this interview for Variety. And you couldn't look at the guy. They were like, please don't look at him.
That's what I've heard.
And yeah.
Do not make eye contact with Prince.
Right. So
you will turn into a pile of ashes.
So we're all sitting there. Everybody paid $20 to get into this club. And there's about 300-400 people there, all excited and ready. And he wouldn't go on. His band was like, his band came out. We were talking to him. We're like, are you guys going to play or what? And he's like, man, you know, it's all up to him, dude. You know, I'm just here for the paycheck.
He was just having like a diva moment.
Yeah,
or
you know, he just,
right, probably
you know,
pitching some sort of bitch fit about something else.
Yes.
Speaking of diva moments, Nader called and had one himself.
Uh-oh.
Check. Just checking to see if the new number is working. Check. Yep, fucking working.
That was not Nader.
Wait.
Who the fuck is it?
That was Mark Nader. That's the first call we got.
Was he phone checking? Was he phone checking us? No. They don't call up your phone checking us.
Well, the photographer the other night?
Right, yeah, the guy
the one that was like, we were taking pictures, was like, oh, dude, my camera's not working.
Right. Oh, he was freaking
out. Yeah, he was pretty pissed.
Out.
Did Nader get high on creatine? And
no. I did. I introduced Dan and Nader to the bazooka, and Mark sent me a text.
Bazooki?
What was it? Either the bazooka or what was it? What was the other one?
The other one was train wreck.
I was like, please, you know, I got work to do. Do not give me train wreck. You know, that's the last thing I fucking need.
So I give
like bazooka-san.
Completely like, fuck your day, Herb. That's
sounds like
shit.
Gum.
We smoked a little bit of bazooka. Nader told me after the show, he's like, I don't know what the fuck you gave me, man, but for the first two fucking bands, I was just staring, figuring out how I'm supposed to take these
Mark,
pictures.
Mark, you know what?
Is this my camera?
He is now on the same list as Dylan. No smoking for you guys before something important to do. Right. Hey, I put myself on that list a long time ago. It's way too much internal thinking that goes on.
Yeah, I can smoke. I like to smoke with everyone around me, but my problem is I go and I get people too stoned, and then they don't know what they're doing, and I'm like, what's wrong, man?
Remember the first time that I ever smoked with you guys?
Oh, you were done. You were done.
I was seeing spots, sweating. They had to sit with me in my car for a half an hour with the AC on full blast. It's like, I can't go home right now.
Oh, man.
Well, make no mistake. Mark Nader is still a motherfucking G.
Dude.
That dude takes shit that's brilliant from a perspective, man.
Those photos he took of Sublime, they're up on the Olin Ezra Show.com.
Oh, he got them,
Facebook.
Huh?
And, man, there's this picture of me and Dan walking, like, into the Fillmore. And it's just, it looks like we're on
The one with you and Sublime is awesome.
I want to frame it.
You have to get that framed.
I didn't even realize what had happened until the next day, and I woke up and I'm like, holy fuck.
Mm-hmm.
This guy just hooked me up, and I just sat in a tour bus with Sublime, who I've listened to since I was just a little guy. But
I did that after our Comerica gig. I was like, was I just seriously fucking with Ryan Field for no good reason other than I was drunk?
You were.
All right.
You were.
I guess it happens.
And intense. Yeah, but anyway, speaking of intense, Andrew May called, and he had something very intense to say.
Olin Ezra Show. What's up, guys? This is Andrew May from 6 Months Gone. I'm just driving home from rehearsal at the lab in Dearborn, and I wanted to let you know that I got so sweaty that I started to grow tanked fungus. It's really all I got. I just wanted to use it in a sentence, and I have accomplished that goal. All right, Detroit, that's really all I had to say. Peace!
Dan is so disturbed in the corner. He just doesn't understand the 86 taint references 15 minutes into the show.
You have to, Dan, the Olin Ezra Show is filled with taint, whether it's a fungus-filled taint or
however,
a glistening one.
I mean,
I don't mind that. It just has to be the right taint.
Yes, it sure does. You do not want to go down.
If we're talking about Danielle's taint, that's one thing. If we're talking about your fucking taint, that's good.
You do not want to go down and experience taint shrooms, because taint shrooms are not a fucking thing that trips you out like they're supposed to.
Oh, my God. I vomited a little bit.
Taint shrooms. That's right. Wow. Thank you, Mr. May.
Wow, Andrew May. Thank you. Real quick, we're going to get into a track. This one's called King of Everything by Ray Street Park.
Nothing's in the way that I can find.
lost and now you go. Nothing's in the way that I can find. Nothing you will say will come out right. I have lit the flame that's burning bright. When it burns away, I am the
Ray Street Park. We got Rick. Terry's going to come in a minute. We're going to do a swap. But yeah, Rick, what's up, man? Thanks for taking the time to come out.
Oh, thanks for having me. Honored to be here.
Spending some time with the OE show. Now, you guys did a show with us on July 9th, and you guys took that show out. It was awesome, man.
Rack to the roll show.
Thank you. My back was feeling good that night, so.
What do you mean by that?
That's a good thing.
Was that you that was on the 2,000 milligrams of Vicodin, or somebody there was whacked out?
No, I don't do too many drugs. I just do Viagra and Xtends. That's it.
I see.
Those are the important ones.
The greasiest of highs.
One for the length and the other one for the length. So
I totally see why now on the front of this CD here you have rock and roll for your convenience.
Yeah, that was... That was awesome when the guy that came up with that.
That's pretty cool.
Put that
man.
In front of us.
That
and we're
Trojan
like,
cover.
That's it.
Yeah, I didn't really recognize it at first because I use Magnums, but those are pretty cool too.
Yeah,
they work.
I can get Magnums over my head, my top head, the head on my shoulder.
Howie Mandel style.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you guys sounded pretty good that night, man. That rock and roll show.
Right on. It's that place has a great sound system.
Dig sound
a great
up there.
Stage and a nice light show and everything for. A downriver bar, they're hitting it hard. So
and you guys just did the Detroit Live Dirty Dozen last night, right?
Last night, yeah. Man, I'm feeling the pain right
now.
Yes, yes. I had a couple pops. It was a good show. It was a great band, a good vibe. Everybody was loving each other, and you know, we got to support ourselves. We got to support each other.
I felt like that at that rock and roll show that night, man. All the bands that were cool as fuck. Everybody, like, it was hard to actually leave. It was such a good environment.
It was a great environment, man. It was a great positive vibe that night. There's actually footage now that Zaldor posted up at Zaldor's World, so check that out. It's good times.
The only disappointment of that night was the poor turnout for the girl-on-girl makeout contest. It's my only complaint.
Yeah, but, you know, the dry 69 kind of threw everybody off.
Did that scare people? Usually that entices people.
Yeah, well,
my intent wasn't to scare.
You're getting rug burns on your lips. It's pretty tough, you know. It's, you know, they came out with blisters and stuff, but, it, you know.
We literally had to bleach the floor of the rack and roll after that, but you could see the video of it on... Zaldorsworld.com.
Oh, I definitely want to watch that again.
Yeah, it was good time. Now, you worked a little bit with a producer named Chuck Alkazian with this King of Everything
Chuck.
CD.
Yes.
A little bit about that.
Well, it was actually the first time that we have ever been produced.
That's that Pearl sound?
You know, without going in and slapping down a CD in a weekend because of budget constraints. We let it all out on that one. And I can't remember how we met Chuck, but we... kind of fell in love with him and his philosophy, and we went in there and he beat the hell out of us the whole way through, but we came out with a great CD. So.
That's your latest
album? Our latest, yeah. We put one out every about 5 or 6 years.
Okay. You guys have been together for quite a while.
Yeah, we're losing count, but I think it's been like 14 years now.
It's not the original lineup still, is it?
Pretty much. Just Terry's really the newest member, and I think he's been with us for six years. Six or seven years.
Good
yeah.
Find there, man.
Yeah, well, when we had... a very strong bass player, and we lost him, and I told the guys there's only one guy that can handle this, and if he doesn't accept it, we're probably not going to move on. And he came in and filled the shoes with no problem.
So how did Ray Street Park originally start all those years ago?
Before Ray Street Park, because it was something different before it was
morphed
Ray Street
into
Park.
Ray Street.
Yeah, it was.
What made it what it is now?
Well, I lived in California for 10 years. I came home, and two of the guys in the band were high school buddies of mine, and they called me in to do some cover songs with them, and I was like, "Man, I'm not a cover guy," and they paid me afterwards, and I was like, "Wow, this ain't so bad afterwards."
I am a money guy,
yeah, but I can handle that. And then as time went in, we changed the name of the band to Ray Street Park because that was a park in Riverview where we all grew up and we were familiar with it. And they liked it. I kind of threw it out there. They're like, "Yeah, cool, let's go with that." And it was even before Linkin Park. So, and then I said, "You know, we need to write," and we started writing. And 4 records in. So, I mean, it takes us a long time because we play so much. We play a lot live.
Well, it's really smart working with Chuck because he really gets the best out of you. I just finished a record with him, Trust Company.
Yeah, oh, a great band.
Yeah, yeah, so, and I actually did another song with, drove a band in from Florida called Arius. And Olin was at the studio with me and listening to it. It's pretty good stuff.
But I was blown away, man.
That's Pearl. Is that Pearl Sound?
Yeah, Pearl Sound. Ben Gross used to own it, the guy that, you know, Filter. And Chuck's done, like, you know, Christina Aguilera. He did, like, Smashing Pumpkin stuff back in the day. He's got a place in Chicago. And,
yeah.
And
what?
He's
oh, a place in, he didn't record Chicago, the band.
No, he's
oh, I'm going to say to work with Peter Cetera, I swear.
Exactly. You know, yeah, but yeah, Chuck is amazing. He'll really get the best out of you.
So. Yeah, we smacked our heads against the wall, but I mean, really, the end result was it needed to be done. And we had never been produced before, so that was a really intense experience to tell you, no, that wasn't good enough. What? So,
the problem with a lot of guys come in there and just, you know, press record and, okay, next take. Chuck will sit there and go, you'll nail a vocal and he'll be like, do it again.
That's exactly what he was doing. And
the example you told us about the when you sang the vocals on that track that he like got a harmony out of it. What was it?
He just, you know, he had me do the lead, and then he said, okay, this is the note I want you to sing the same part in. And I'm like, well, are you going to play the track back to me so I can sing with it? And he goes, no. And I'm like, well, I don't understand. And I said, how do I know that I'm going to be on the right timing and the right cadence with it? And he goes, well, you know how the song goes, don't you? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, just sing it in this note. So I sang it in the other note, and he goes, here, let me show you what I did. And then he played it back for me, and it was a sweet harmony. I'm like, wow.
Well, that's actually production.
Yeah, wow, that's cool. Can we do that again? So it was like riding a scary roller coaster, and once it was over, you want to get back on, you know?
Right,
so
right. That's awesome.
It was great.
That's awesome.
I was checking out you guys' actual website today, which props on the website, because a lot of bands just have the Facebook or the MySpace, but the actual website is fantastic. There's so much info. It's like so user-friendly. It's just, it's you can tell you guys put a lot of work into it.
Well, actually, we did not.
Chet did. Nice work, Chet.
Damn it, Chet Hamerton. Yep. Once again.
He's over there. I'm not used to getting pictures taken, so I've tried to adjust to that.
Yeah, you didn't wear your best dress or what?
Bring it to the dance, baby.
It's been a crazy weekend, and I'm still trying to sort it all out. So,
but I was reading on the bio that you guys played Mayhem
a couple years ago. We got invited by Jägermeister because we're sponsored by Jägermeister.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, too. How does that happen? And
good
how
old Adam.
Well, we sent them our stuff, and, you know, you got a certain criteria that you got to meet as far as how much you play and, you know, what you do and all that stuff and how much you drink. Yeah, they said, you know, don't really say that, but.
I don't see Jägermeister sponsoring progressive Christian rock. Yeah.
We got the sponsorship, and actually they've told us a few times that as far as a local level band, we have to turn receipts in every show that we do on how much Jäger we have sold. That's part of the deal. And they say that we...
Jäger pushers, huh?
Yeah. And they say that we sell more Jägermeister than some of their nationals do.
Wow.
Well, Michigan environment doesn't hurt right now. Right? Yeah.
But one of the things is we drink a lot of it. So
exactly. The old deer's blood.
Yeah.
You know what? Adam Grayer over at Jägermeister is a great guy.
Yeah, that's who we...
Yeah, of course.
That's who found us.
He's looking for bands that draw a lot and that could sell Jägermeister and... They do great things. They give you the T-shirts and with your logo on, you can throw it from stage. And
oh, the glowing Jaeger beads.
They give you all the gear, and of course, you get some deer's blood.
Yeah. Dude. And you get to do stuff like Mayhem. And it was a beautiful thing. Right. That was a
They're really good about that, too. Yeah. Locals all over the country, they're great about that.
Dan, you know anyone at Wild Mad Dog 2020? Do they promote bands?
What about Wild Irish Rose?
That's what I'm looking for. Chuck. I know Chuck from Two Buck Chuck. I used to steal Mad Dog when I was
Mad Dog. You know, they had those square bottles so you could get them in your sock and their jeans would hide them. It was real easy to do. So, but we would puke purple. You know,
Mad Dog 2020.
It was a good time. Let me put it that way.
So what's on the agenda next?
Well, actually, we just got done with our last officially booked show. More will come. I mean, but we're gonna probably kick it down and try to finish a CD we've been working on. We got about 10 tracks, and we just need to kind of polish the turd up a little bit and go in and lay it down. We discussed going back in and working with Chuck again, you know, but financially, it's rough on us, but we have some other ideas, too. I don't know exactly where we're going to go, but we are kind of pre-producing this one ourselves, and then we'll go in and have someone kind of beat
us
up
a little bit. That's a good idea, man. Sort of do whatever you can.
Yeah,
get the logistics together, go in there, boom.
Yeah, we're recording the practices and everything, go back and listen to them. We come back a week later and say, let's change this, that, and the other thing, and we never really did that before either, where we would just write the song and be done with it. Well, we're kind of paying attention to them this time, and we'll see how it goes, but we're just about ready to go in there and do that. So now we're going to have a little break from live shows and get the time to get down in our basement and work on
it. Well, that should save you some money right there just doing pre-pro.
Yeah.
Most of the time when you get in with a producer, they'll work with a couple days, or depending on what kind of record you're doing, they'll do like a week of pre-pro, but for you guys to do pre-pre-pro, you know,
pre-pro.
Yeah. So when you get in, when you get in there and the producer makes the changes, it's not too hard for you guys because everything's down tight anyway. You know,
right? That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be a little bit more on top when we get there. You know, and
don't waste any time trying to boom boom trying to get that tone when you know what that is and how to play it and.
Right, it's so important. It's so much the tone, it's the songs themselves
and
the changes and. You know, trying to get it right.
If you apply enough pressure to a substance, it will eventually turn into a diamond.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I mean, you know,
it's important to get the work in there, man. It's good to see. You guys have been working so hard for so long, and it's good to see that you guys still persevere because so many bands come and go. I know you guys have seen it. You guys are still there, solidified, and still firing on all cylinders.
I'm glad you brought that up because you're right. They come and go. Some of my favorite Detroit bands are no longer for one reason or another, and they get pushed in this direction on the radio or pushed that direction in the radio, and sometimes they kind of don't look at us, but we're still here, and we're still doing it, and we're still happy about it. I think we've been a band as long as we have because when we put it all together, we said we're going to have fun with this. We've all been in and out of bands earlier in our lives, you know, this band, that band, and we said if we could just continue to be friends and have fun with this, we can last.
It's a good philosophy.
Really cool.
And I think it shows on stage and our performances and our music, and because we're not uptight about it. You know, obviously we butt heads like any other band does, but we're buddies, so we can wake up in the morning and say we're sorry and get over it and move on.
Nice.
So
I love it, man. I love it, man. What a good philosophy. Well, hey, we got to keep this thing rolling. Thanks so much for coming in and playing that show, Rick. That was awesome.
Oh, our pleasure.
Absolutely awesome.
We'll do more.
Yeah, beautiful. So, hey, Rick, thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to pull a swap. Rick. We're going to talk to Terry for a little bit.
Nice to meet you, too.
Roll on the show. So, thank you so much. Terry, man.
Pleasure. Hi, Big O.
And a
Cherry for Bray Street Park. is that some of the Jägermeister swag you got on your head right now?
I'm a big proponent of the Jäger swag. I have the Jäger machine in my kitchen.
I was going to ask if they hooked you up with those.
Do you? You have one.
Yes, I have one in my kitchen.
So you could just wake up before you go to work.
Yes.
Boom.
Yes, it's 5 degrees negative. right out of the tap. It's awesome.
Jaeger goes with Fruit Loops anyway, so.
at my house, yes, it does.
Gargling with Jaeger instead of mouthwash. Yes, yes.
How many times has your wife found you sleeping under the machine?
Not under the machine, but in several odd places, including my yard, in a pool.
Jaeger gurgling out of his mouth.
The Martin House throws a wicked party.
Nice.
Very cool.
Chad can vouch.
Really, really quick, hey, if you guys are looking for some amazing Midwest hip-hop of the connoisseur blend, check out good friends of the show, Origix and DC, doing it live every week on The Zone Radio and once a week on
Origix.
W Fuck Off Radio. Origix and DC, they've been in the hip-hop game for about 7, 8, 9 years, man. They just keep going. So check them out, TooRawForFM.com. This was kind of cool and kind of improv. I was chilling with Dan at the Sublime Show, the 89X birthday bash, and we got an impromptu on-the-spot interview with a little band called The Paper Tongues.
Which guys are part?
A bunch out in Hollywood.
Where?
At Brian West Studio, which is on Hollywood. And we did some at John Field's place. It's in North Hollywood, the old Blind Melon Studio.
Oh, yeah.
We did some stuff at... we did a few things at Henson. Henson's fantastic. Yeah.
You feel like how the fucking Muppets are gonna come off.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's awesome. Yeah. Love it.
It is pretty cool.
And then also did some stuff at Westlake.
Yeah, that's a cool joint too.
Yeah, it was really cool because we did we were in the room where they did Thriller.
Oh yeah.
And so we were just like, we were trying to like channel. Thriller.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah.
So what's the single out on the radio right now?
There's two. There's Ride to California and Trinity.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Where were you guys last night?
Last night, we were just in New York.
Okay.
Yeah, we were just there for like 3 days. We did Bowery Ballroom, we did the Fallon Show.
Paper Tongues, where'd you guys get the name from?
Paper Tongues was the name of a band. One of our producers, Nicholas Balachandran, is a buddy of ours. He used to be in a band called Paper Tongues, and like they're done with whatever, and he was like working with us producing, and all of our ideas were really dumb and bad or whatever, and he was like, hey, why don't you guys just take Paper Tongues,
right?
Okay, cool.
What's the craziest thing you guys have seen on the road so far?
You know what, there was this kind of a funny moment in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We were headlining the show there, and there's that Black Sheep. It's a small little place. It's like maybe 300 seater, you know, packed out, great show, fun, having a great time. And all of a sudden, like, during one of the songs, these two girls, like, get up on stage. I'm, like, stage right, and I'm, like, looking down. There's, like, a stairway, like, coming up on stage. And these two girls are standing there, and they just start walking up. And I'm, like, okay, you know, like, I don't
just
know.
Just randomly have you backstage passes?
No, they just start walking up on stage. And I'm, like, all right. And
they had two
be...
passes each.
Yeah, right. They're in the middle of the stage, like, making out.
Oh, my God.
And dancing. And we're all in the same position. We're all just like, we're not going to kick them off because that makes us look like jerks or whatever, you know, and they're having a good time or whatever. So we just wait until our tour manager, like, grabs them and, like, you know, throws them off stage. But it was, like, so, like, random.
So Paper Tongues, where can we find you guys online?
Find us. Papertongues.com is where you'll find everything. All the other platforms, Facebook, MySpace, you know, Pure Volume, whatever. You can buy the music on iTunes, Amazon, you can go to any store, Best Buy, Target, whatever, get it anywhere. Or come to a show and buy it there. That's an Avalon, right?
Steve, man, channeling Michael Jackson.
I'm telling you that if you can channel you some Thriller in the same room where that was recorded, you will have people busting a subconscious moonwalk.
In the presence of. That's epic, dude.
It literally epic. That was the label where the recorded.
Steve, I love you, man. Since Dan's here, I figured Dan could kind of talk about some of the things that he's seen. And there's a lot of artists in Detroit. There's this, they've labeled it the Gang of Bang, if you will. And, you know, there's a ton of other movements and positivity going out there.
Am I missing something?
Yes.
I'm missing another gangbang?
We all are.
There's just this positive energy in the city of Detroit, and there's so many people on so many levels that want, you know, to be a part of this and push Detroit onto the rest of the nation. So, I don't know. If I was from any band in Detroit, Dan, and came and asked you for advice, I'm like, here's my CD. It's fresh out of the package, man. What do you think? What's usually the first piece of advice you would give
why'd
someone?
Why'd you spend money on CDs? No, you know what? I kind of, you got to pick everything apart and look at everything as like a whole, like the band. And you know, I usually can't tell what I like and what I dislike about a band unless I see them live. So that's my first thing. I can put in a tape, or I can put in a CD, I can put in an album from back in the day. All that from my, you know, years of experience is that if I don't see this band live, I can't tell you everything, every single thing that needs to be done right, you know, well, and what you should be doing and what direction and the positives and the negatives.
And what you were saying out in the hall too is where, you know, you throw in a CD and if the production value is crap,
I'm throwing it out the window. I mean, it's just, you know, if you're, every Tom, Dick, and Dick has a fucking YouTube and all the Pro Tools and everything like that. But if you don't know what you're doing and you don't do it the right way, like we're talking about with Chuck, with doing more than one take, you know, spending, really, really getting it down the best and possible. And if you don't have someone that knows how to twist the knobs the right way, or the noise and arrangement is really my problem with a lot of bands is that I'm like, nah, the arrangement's completely wrong.
That was a lot of what we went through with pre-production work. You know,
exactly.
We hacked down songs from 4 minutes and 37 seconds down to 3:30, you know,
right,
stuff like that.
Right.
Take out the 40-second intro, which is just...
Yeah, exactly.
Bullshit.
Well, you know, and then the other thing is that, you know, people were like, oh, I'm like, dude, that song's too long. And they're like... So many 3 minutes and 14 seconds. I'm like, yeah, but it's a long 3 minutes and 14 seconds. It took 40 fucking seconds to get into the fucking chorus, or 50 seconds to get into the chorus. And if you're, or, you know, if you only have a 3 minute and 14 song, and then all of a sudden you have like a 20 minute fucking solo, it feels like, anyway, you're like, oh my God, it is
like
only 3:15. It is only 3:15, but God, that was the longest 3:15. I'll never get that back.
This is what they did to the Doors. No, light my fire. What's with these solos? Why are you playing for so goddamn long? Paul Rothschild, actually, the producer, was constantly cutting their shit down from seven minutes to like 2:50.
Well, you know, I mean, everybody's attention span's only so much.
Oh, God.
It's not like we're, you know, everything
especially
is formulaic.
Especially in the climate. The modern climate, absolutely. Right. It's like less attention span.
A lot of people with their songs, you know, like it's so hard to hear criticism. It's like we've compared it before to like somebody like saying your kid is ugly.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Like, this song, it's like from your heart.
You're like, that's my
like,
baby. Don't step on my baby.
You worked on this so hard, and you're telling me
hey,
it blows.
Yeah. Your 8 month old needs lipo.
Well, I mean, you can only be so, like, look at my baby, and you're like, oh my God, that's the most maliciously ugly baby I've ever seen in my life. What is that?
Has a horribly dirty taint.
Hey, keep fetal taints off the map, okay?
You had to get a second hand.
Fetal taints
are
fetal taints. No, that's off. That is off the table.
I can't believe. Did that just fetal?
But yeah.
Okay.
No, indeed, though, dude. I mean, if you're moving in any direction, no doubt, like critique, fucking critique all day. Everyone needs, especially a network of people.
You know,
you know.
I just don't give a fuck. You know, I'll tell you. I was.
You're not trying to not hurt any feet.
No, I'm not. You know what? I'll tell you. I've been through so many highs and lows in this business, and I think it was in 1998. My mom died on December 1st. Eesh. My birthday was on the 3rd. And the 4th, I flew to Dallas to see this band called Shackleford Brown, and they're unfucking believable. The shit they did on the tape was really good. And, you know, we had a deal for them, and we had a label down there. The label flew down there. Steve Hutton, who was the original manager for Kid Rock when Kid Rock started making money, and he and I, we were going to co-manage it and all this other stuff. Basically, all they had to do was put on a good show. And not only did they need to go through a rock and roll car wash, they looked like fucking shit, but they didn't have a good show that night. And the next day, we woke up and we went out to breakfast, and Steve Hutton was like, I'm fucking out of here, you know? And the A&R guy kind of hung out for a minute, and he was like, you know, he's just shaking his head and looking at me, and he's like, all right, I got to go. So we sat down there in the band, and I'm like, well, I hadn't had a flight out for the next day. I wanted to get the hell out of town. I was crying on the fucking plane. I was a
lot
wreck.
Of baggage.
I was a fucking wreck, you know. And I got in a car, my car accident 6 months before, so I just had surgery. I'm on all these fucking Vicodin, and you know, we sat down there like, so what do you think was wrong, dude? You know, and I'm like, you know, this and that and the other. You know, I'm like, yeah, you need to. you know, do this and that. And the other like, well, we want your, you know, we want your honest opinion. And I just kind of sat there, and the waitress hadn't brought me any coffee. I was all fucking tired and just whatever.
Your show blew. Like, take a shower. Get my
fucking
coffee.
Yeah, I got my fucking. I got my coffee, and I looked at this guy, and I go, first of all, you. I don't know what the hell. He had this long hair, and he had it kind of over on his shoulder. I was like, I don't know if you have a fucking squirrel on your shoulder or something, but you need to get that fucking off your shoulder. You don't quit your fucking day job. You. I don't know what the fuck you were doing last night, and you sounded like shit. And they kind of all looked at me, and I was just like, I was surprised myself.
Check, please.
I've never
coffee.
Said that. I've never been that honest with people. And from that day on, I mean, and I've told, I mean, that was the instance, and I've never, you know, I'm not that brutal and that rude, whatnot anymore. But I'm in my mind when I hear someone rambling and thinking how great they are and whatever. And
you're
I'm like,
still doing that.
I'm
your
still
head.
Doing that in my head, going, dude, you don't fucking get it. I'm not trying to hurt you by my comments here. You know, I'm not trying to make you, you know, hate what I have to say. I'm just trying to say is you're gonna be sitting there for the next 6 years doing this shit and wonder why nothing's happening. And what's going on if you don't get somebody with somebody like Chuck Ocasian?
Yeah, it's flat
and do
out
the record
business.
Right, and you know, learn how to play your part and learn how, you know, and get rid of the unnecessary members. If someone's killing you, and just because he's your boy, you gotta fucking dump him, you know. So, and that's, you know, that's one of the things that I,
you know,
I
it's, love
it's honesty. I have to be honest about stuff. I can't lie. I couldn't even lie about stepping on a toad. My wife loved this toad in my courtyard. I think I told
you. Yeah,
you
told
that,
me
right?
the toad story.
I was like carrying around like an IV bottle because I was on an IV like 6 months ago, and I was on the phone. And I stepped on her toad. It was Wilma. So I
did it croak toad to chode.
Croaked. Yeah. So, but I had to tell her about it. And now the Wilma has little kids, Willie,
oh,
and
no.
his little buddies, and they're like hopping around and shit. And she's
oh,
like,
God.
Don't
looking
step
for
on
their
us.
Mom.
Don't step
yeah.
on. They have four of them. Four of them. She's like, don't step on them. Don't stop. Don't step on Willie. Don't step. Don't.
Now
so
you got
to
deal with that.
Going, you know what? If I happen to step on him, I am not telling her. I am just gonna throw the thing out. The
Every time
out.
You walk outside, try not to step on anything. not to like change the direction or the vibe that we're talking about, or you know, take any criticism at all, but. Are there any more of these purple haze beers left?
No, that's really, we are on the last
really
two. They are,
about that.
They are
God
quite
damn
nice.
It.
Hey, Dan, thank you. I wanted to say thank you for coming out.
Hey, the other
out
night was great, man.
Us.
I want to talk about that for a second. That was fucking
I'm
awesome.
Not worthy. Yeah.
Those guys were so cool, so nice. We went out to dinner, and I was out with them Friday night. And,
did you went to the Bazooki Club with Sublime?
I took him to Greektown. Got to take him to Greektown, and they were blown away by, oppa. So, yeah, that rocked, and the night of the show, they were just so great. My boy Cheese manages the band, and Cheese, like, has been around the industry for, like, years. I mean, we did work with Guns N' Roses, and, you know, he has Sublime, and he has the Dirty Heads, and he actually had Slash for a little while, the solo thing, and then he had Chester from Linkin Park, and... he was just great and just very hospitable to us. And
shout out to Cheese.
This dude, man.
Cheese is the man. He walks with presence, big
he
dude.
Came
he got
on,
up and he got played. He played What I Got with him on the guitar. Yeah, came out and he got a hat. Like, an interesting story, man. Kid Rock, he was looking for I've known Cheese, actually met him with Bob, and they were going on his jet somewhere or whatever. This is years and years ago, right when everything started taking off. Cheese kind of, I was like, who's this Cheese guy, man? You know, because I did promoting for, you know, Bob for years. And I was like,
who's
who
Bob?
Kid Rock, yeah.
Oh,
so,
Bob
Ritchie. Bob Ritchie. So anyway, he became friends with Bob for years and whatnot. So he comes into Detroit and he says, look, I'm looking for like a pimp hat. You know, I'm coming to Detroit. You know, I got to get a fucking pimp hat.
Henry
he goes,
the Hatter.
Bob
oh, Henry the Hatter.
Bob took me to a place and I was like, I think it's called the Mad Hatter. And then I called my dad and my dad's like, no.
Henry
the old Italian guy's like, he's like, no, Dan, it's called the Henry. It's Henry the Hatter. So, you know, and so Cheese went there and Bob had already paid for a hat for him.
Yeah, they got his picture up at Henry the Hatter.
So
that's how much
he walked on stage with
awesome
this
place,
like this
man.
Badass hat and just rocked it out. And we had a great time with him the night before, man.
I love that because you're coming to Detroit, you must seek a pimp hat.
Right, exactly.
when Cheese walked onto this tour bus, it's like the attention instantly focused, and this present
came. Like,
the presents just came out. Everyone's like,
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
Wait, did he have the hat on?
He had a band. That's not,
yesterday?
He had a band that he was managing, and also at that time when I first met him called, not when I first met him, a little bit before, called Transmatic, and I brought them on the road when I managed Tantric. I put them on the road with them, so... you know, we have that connection and whatnot, but it just a wonderful person to care. Ten of my people. I mean, you know, it's a lot to do.
Big bill.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, thank you, dude. You know, so we had a great time with that, man.
Coming up next, we've got Danny's brand new Taint Stain of the Week.
It's the Taint Stain, the Taint Stain. It's Danny's Dirty Taint Stain of the Week.
We decided to change the name to Taint Stain because really, I mean, anybody can be a douchebag. There's lots of douchebags. We all know them. But a taint stain is pretty much just a deplorable being, right?
Right.
Am I right?
It's the worst place to be is to be surrounded by a taint stain.
Into a very humid, taintal area.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
No fetal taint stains, though.
Don't bring the fetal taint back, please.
Okay, so this week it's a weird one. It's a really weird one. We all know we're very well aware that politicians, for the most part, are blood sucking individuals, and this guy quite literally wants to be just that. He is from Tampa, Florida. His name is Jonathan Sharkey, and he claims to be a descendant of Vlad the Impaler, who is actually the inspiration for Dracula.
But this guy's a politician?
Well, he's an aspiring politician.
Vlad the Impaler ruled, I think, Hungary with an iron fist back in the day.
Something like that.
If he didn't like you, you just get impaled.
Yeah, like up the anus, right?
Like, literally, he would slide you anus first.
Transylvania, what is now Romania.
Your head on a pike, sir.
And yes. It would slowly stab you to death.
So this guy identifies himself as a Republican, which is... interesting, but a Republican, vampire, and a Luciferian, which is an offshoot.
Oh, so he's out in the open.
Yeah.
Wow.
By the way, they're all vampiric fucking satanic worshipers.
Well, yeah. he recently released a video where he announces he'll be running for president in 2012. He already ran for governor of Minnesota back in 2006, during which his campaign included taking a Muslim prayer mat, drawing a pentagram, writing Hail Lucifer, and then lighting it on fire.
Nice.
A couple things worth noting here. He's 45. He only dates teenagers. He was recently engaged to a 16-year-old, which ended up with a restraining order.
So you're saying this is one of the coolest dudes that ever walked the planet? Because he needs to be on the show.
We got to interview this guy.
I saw a video.
Does he sacrifice babies?
I don't know, but
they eat the reproductive organs of fetuses.
He is one of the creepiest individuals ever. There's a video of him, and he's talking about, very proudly announcing that he hasn't dated anybody over the age of 17 since 2004, I think.
My man.
He's engaged to a 19-year-old right now, and they show his fiance, getting off a plane, and they meet at the airport, and they totally suck face, and then he proceeds to bite into her neck and suck the blood out of her neck.
Wow.
Brilliant.
So
that Twilight saga is going too far.
It's got way out of control.
Does he also glisten in the sun?
He sparkles.
I can't be sure, but
wow.
Perhaps.
What a dick.
So, needless to say, the Republican party is not extremely excited about
him. Yeah, because he's blowing their cover.
You got something else, too, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch base real quick on something interesting that I just stumbled across, and I don't know if you guys have heard anything about this, but there's something going on called eye dosing right now. Digital drugs. Have you guys heard anything about this? Basically, the long and short of it is there's these videos that are coming out, and particularly in Oklahoma, the Narcotic Bureau of Oklahoma is freaking out, and parents everywhere are just going into a frenzy that their children may be doing this. High school kids are coming across these beats, I guess, that are like music, you know, tracks or beats that you can purchase online. They come with a 40-page manual that instructs you how to use these to get so high that it produces effects similar to peyote, ecstasy, heroin, like hardcore.
What I want to know is where can I get some of these beats?
I know, I want to try it.
Right.
I really want, so I guess...
You down to eye dose?
Is it like based on eye movements?
No, it's like eye, like the letter
apple?
I. So what
that automatically makes it trendy. So that's a good starting point.
Right, right. So you purchase these tracks, you listen to them with your headphones, MP3 player on your computer, and from what I've gathered, it's like in each ear there's a different frequency of a beat that's very similar, but your brain kind of merges them together, and then apparently it like creates this sensation that gets you high.
Transcendental.
Using frequency to alter your conscious is not a new trick.
No, it's been around forever. Yeah. And actually,
MK Ultra, it's a project from the early 60s the CIA did, actually executed. You can search the fuck out of it.
Yeah, and it's been used to treat like anxiety and ADHD and stuff like that. But a lot of people are calling bullshit. They're saying it's not real. But there's all these videos on YouTube. I watched a couple of them, and it's pretty real. Fucked up.
Anyone who's calling something like that bullshit is just afraid of what they might be. That's it. It's these frequencies trigger a dynamic response. You can have an out-of-body experience by listening to sound. And they've purportedly did this years ago. Years and years, thousands of years ago, to move rocks around. Using the same ideas.
Are we talking Stonehenge here?
Yeah.
Shit, pyramids, no
right. doubt. Yeah, it's all Googleable information. You can believe it or
that
not.
Sounds pretty
it's up
crazy.
To you. It's up to you.
Well, these kids are like, they're listening to it, and then some kids are like laughing and like falling out of their chairs. Some people are just like going into this catatonic, like almost like a trance where it's crazy. It's pretty wild.
Good times. Hey, real quick, I want to say check out good friends of the show, InkAddict.com. They've got some awesome shirts. They've got some brand new shirts that those girls at the show are wearing that they won. Excuse me. It's got the Ink Addict logo, and it's got the OlinEzraShow.com logo, and they look sweet.
Danny looks lovely modeling the shirt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Is there a picture of you with that shirt?
On the website.
Oh, I thought you were
doing the point thing.
Yeah,
on the
no,
website.
She modeled the shirts that day. Yeah.
Well, thanks,
Steve. What do you got this week, buddy?
I feel like it's going to be more important in the damn near future to keep people together and to keep your networks and to keep people with you that you know you can count on, because it's not going to be long. I want to point out something that you know people have said, and I've heard it directly, and I've seen the emails, and it's like they think that we're fucking crazy for some of the shit we talk about. Okay, so I'm gonna ask you, what is crazier, reality or the actual, you know, like idea of reality and the shit that we talk about? I'm going way back with this one to 1962. There's an operation performed by the American government called Starfish Prime. Anybody familiar with it?
No. And
chocolate starfish.
That's been going on forever.
That has not.
Yeah. This Starfish Prime was a covert operation, by the way, where in 1962, the American government, along with their space agency at the time, launched a hydrogen bomb into space, the Van Allen belt specifically, to explode it and see what effect it had on the electromagnetic field held by gravity to the Earth. The Van Allen belt that surrounds and is held by gravity to the Earth was discovered by Dr. James A. Van Allen in 1958. It's a belt of intense radiation in the magnetosphere. That's not where Magnanimous lives. Composed of very highly charged particles trapped by the Earth's magnetic field. Dr. Van Allen winds up entering into an agreement with the American government, God knows for how much, or his family legacy, to go about devising the operation, which they spun, by the way, as a magnificent light show seen only in the sky over Hawaii. And people, like, even took trips to go there and see it. It was like a big media event.
And
like
there was nothing was said about the harmful effects of exploding radiation over Hawaii.
No, but again, people think that we're fucking crazy for the shit we talk about on the show. But let me ask you, like, what is crazier? Those same mentalities are still in charge, by the way. It's the same cabal of fucking ideology. So can you imagine what the fuck we don't know about? Like what's really going down in history and still does? People
that's what I'm more afraid of is what we don't fucking know about.
Well, that's like I told you, you know, since I got turned on to your show and I've been listening to your show and going back and listening to the back episodes.
I can't, he said.
I'm a much more paranoid person.
No, don't be paranoid.
I mean that in a good way. You
paranoid
know?
Is still
I
mean, aware.
Generally, for most of my life, I just kind of roll through, go to my job, do my deal, and I don't think like that. That's just who I am as a human being. You make me think like that, and I fucking dig that.
Hey, speaking of chocolate starfish, I want to say hi to my wife out there.
Oh, my God.
I'm ready to come home. bang the shit out of Danny.
Wow.
You're going to walk in, she's going to say, hey, I heard your little shout out on a radio show. By the way, you didn't step on anything out in the yard, did you, in the land?
Walk in the door and just tell her the taint cleaning service
is
here.
Don't.
Taint man. Taint cleaner.
Hello, I heard that you were having a fungal problem on that show. We're going to take it out. Dan, pleasure and a privilege, dude.
Yeah,
much knowledge.
Thanks, Dan.
Much knowledge. Wow.
Very much so. Pleasure to meet you, sir.
Love to come back, man.
Dan literally has mind-fucked me every day since I've met him. It's like, wow.
Did he mind kiss you?
Do I get the blowjob after the show?
Right.
I'm sorry. I'll quit kissing your ass. Anyway, so for myself, I'm afraid horribly of Margaret Cho's.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Bleached taint. The lovely Miss Danny Catastrophe.
Oh, my God. I don't even know. My taint is so sweaty right now.
Steve Foster.
Taint shrooms in full effect.
And Terry from the legendary, legendary Ray Street Park.
And taint cleaning services.
He's just offering his services.
And we're going to take you out to Heartbreaker. Now, this one was originally recorded by Mark Farner and Grand Funk Railroad. Ray Street Park's version has never been released or heard anywhere, ever, 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 ever before. This one was recorded by Kevin Sharp at Metro 37 Studios for a 1969 tribute record that was never finished or released. So here we go, Ray Street Park, Heartbreaker, only on the Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's Underground Talk Revolution. I think about